I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. And while you're looking for Proverbs chapter 16, I'll remind you of this. We started a few weeks ago a little series here on Wednesday night. We've given it the name or the title of Destructive Behavior. There are so many things that you and I can do that bring destruction into our lives or the lives of others. And part of the reason that I'm teaching this series right now, it almost seems like our country has become self-destructive. I mean, just everywhere you go, the behavior and the attitudes. Well, we as Christians ought to rise above that. We ought to live in a different way. And so this is, if my numbering is right, I think this is lesson number 5 on the subject of destructive behavior. I very easily could have started with this subject, because tonight we're going to talk about the word pride. The word pride. Now, I want you to keep your Bible ready, because I'm going to have you turn to a handful of verses. But starting with Proverbs chapter 16, why don't you stand with me? And we'll stand for the reading of the Bible. Proverbs 16, we're going to start out with verse number 16. We're heading toward verse number 18, which will be a key verse to launch the study tonight. The Bible says this in verse 16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. If you'll look back at me, of course, the whole series is about destructive behavior. God makes it pretty clear here that pride is going to bring on destruction. And that's why we're going to talk about this subject tonight. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us through this. Father, help us tonight. We need to be better because we came to church. We did not come here to be entertained. Lord, thank you for the fellowship, but we didn't just come here to fellowship. We came here to be challenged and changed by the Bible. Now, everyone here, we need to be reminded of the destruction that pride brings. So help us tonight, God. Help us to be cautious of this behavior called pride. And God, please help us to help our country, help our church, help our families by guarding against this pride matter in our lives. Holy Spirit, control what's said and done in the next few minutes, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm going to remind us of something. If you went into the story of Pharaoh when Moses and the children of Israel were in captivity, and that Old Testament story, you would find out that it was a mess. It ended up in a terrible tragedy where Pharaoh's armies drowned in a sea, and pride is laced all the way through that story, because pride brings destruction. Pride is a great destroyer. If we wanted to, we could go back to the book of Isaiah, and Lucifer was at one time an archangel in heaven, and when he was there, his pride flared up against God. Isaiah chapter 14, it says that God had to cast Lucifer out of heaven. There'd be no way for us to figure out all the destruction thereafter. That's where it all came from. And so you find that issue of pride involved. And now let me testify for a second. Oh my, what I have dealt with in regard to myself over this issue of pride. And one of the worst things is there were times when I was saying to myself, now, are you being proud, or are you just right? And I get on the other side of that thing and I realize, wow, what was I thinking? We can self-deceive about this. Always be careful Because when you see the word pride in the Bible, when the word pride comes and your conscience is pricked because of this issue, when you hear it taught, when you hear it preached, don't ever say, I won't need this one. That is so dangerous because we self-deceive. I think I can say this, and I hope we can agree. Everybody here needs teaching on pride. And today our pride may not be at its highest level. We might have it at bay a little bit. But the truth is, when you talk about pride, every Christian, every human being needs to be reminded of pride. When we get to heaven and you see the holiness of God, you will understand how prideful we all were. You know, I think one of the reasons we're going to fall on our face and cry holy is because of His holiness. I think we're also going to be humbled at the thought that we ever thought we could do it without Him, that we could walk without Him or make decisions without Him. We'll see how much this pride thing has cost us. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. You don't have to turn to them, though in a little while I'm going to get you to turn to more than one verse. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 12. And listen for that word destruction. Proverbs 18:12 says, Before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So that word haughty there would be a part of the definition of pride. So now we've seen that pride goeth before destruction. In other words, right before destruction came, you can trace it back and you're going to find its roots in pride. Now we see here that it tells us that haughtiness, that's cockiness, that's arrogance, is going to be attached to destruction. In Proverbs 15, verse number 25, it says this, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." Let me tell you something, folks. That is a dangerous, dangerous prediction there. Well, maybe it's not a prediction, it's probably a promise. God is saying, let's say that the term house there is actually talking about a home in which a family lives. I think God is saying, if you've got a cocky husband, you got a cocky wife, you got a cocky son, you got a cocky daughter, God said, that's a house that's looking for destruction. And God said, that will produce destruction. Well, let's say it's not talking about a home in which, a residence where we live, and it probably is. Let's say it's talking about an establishment. Let's say it's talking about a business. Well, you get a bunch of people that are full of pride and arrogant in a business or in a line of work. God is saying destruction is going to come that direction. So we've looked at three verses, Proverbs 16:18, Proverbs 18:12, and Proverbs 15:25, that make it very clear that this thing called pride brings destruction. I'll read another verse to you. It's in Proverbs chapter 17, and it is verse number 19, and the Bible says this. It says, He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Here it's talking about exaltation again, and said, you're just looking to face destruction. Now, you say, does that destruction always come by the hand of God? I think most things come by the hand of God. It doesn't mean that God wanted it, but I do think God is obligated to keep His word. You know, somebody said to me one day, he said, I just don't believe a loving God would ever send anybody to hell. And I said, I agree with you 100%. And their eyes got real big. I said, you send yourself to hell. God just follows through on His word. I mean, if you reject Jesus, that was your choice. God didn't make you do that. Matter of fact, He said He didn't want you to do that. So I don't think God sends you to hell. I think you send yourself. He just keeps His word where He said, if you reject my son, you're going to go to hell. But remember, if God says destruction is going to come because of pride, it doesn't necessarily mean that God Himself is going to walk in and destroy and you get to see it happen. You bring it on, but it is the promise of God, and it is, if you will, the prophecy of God that pride produces destruction. That destruction, though, is not always. It may not be that if I practice pride with my finances, that I will see destruction in my finances. Now, it could, but that doesn't always mean that. And it doesn't always mean that if I'm proud on Monday, that destruction comes on Tuesday. Maybe that I'm proud on Monday and destruction doesn't come for a couple of weeks. And it may be that I'm proud about my finances, but the destruction comes in another area of life. I don't think God's obligated to say, you're proud in an area, I destroy in an area. But I do believe that God said pride brings destruction. You just can't always figure out exactly when. You heard the old saying, God doesn't always pay on Friday, but he always pays. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, which can be a positive or a negative? If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap to the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap to the Spirit. So if we're guilty of wrong and pride, we'll pay for that. But if you're guilty of humility and goodness, then God will reward you for that. We're going to talk about pride for a little while. It's going to be very practical, very down to earth. First of all, In a church like ours, I really hardly ever meet people that are strutting around, you know, like they're the king of the world and they're in charge of everything. I really don't see a lot of that around our church. Now, there are people like that. You know, you especially see them at work, and maybe you've been in church somewhere where someone thinks that they've just got it all together and they're God's gift to everything. I don't think we have that. So if I might, I'd like to start out talking about pride in an area that will maybe help Christians that are trying. So let me warn you that pride can come when you experience spiritual success. Spiritual success. Remember, the Bible talks about if you exalt yourself, you're just asking for some destruction to come. Listen, if we're not careful in regard to this thing of spiritual success, if we're not careful, the devil can take that God accomplishes through us in our ministry, and we become prideful about it, and you and I try to take credit for what God did. And we then find ourselves lifted up with pride. There's a danger in experiencing blessings from the Lord while you're in His service. I think when a church succeeds, and I think part of success in a church is getting people saved and helping lives to change. Boy, a church that's succeeding has to be careful, because if they're not careful, they could start thinking there's something special about the individuals, when the truth of the matter is there's something special about Jesus. It's all about God. Those blessings are from God. And a church, we thank God for what God's done at our church. And thank God for this auditorium and the property that we have and the growth that we've had in our church. I mean, hey, we just had our homecoming and had a record-breaking attendance. And wow, we see people saved. But let's just all remember something. That's because of Jesus. And spiritual success can produce pride. We could forget that every success and every victory comes from the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, there was a success, but the Bible says, thine heart was then lifted up with pride. Now, folks, we have to be careful. When we have a great day here at the church, let's be very, very careful. If we're not careful, we'll go around saying to everyone, hey, look what happened for us and look what we did. And hey, if I think I'd be throwing the words in there, look what God did and look what God did for us, because it's God that blessed and God made that happen. When you do something for the Lord, don't forget He's the one that allowed you to do it. We have some very successful bus captains. All four of the men that run our bus routes are productive, and they reach people and get people saved. Bus captains, always keep in mind your good day. Sure, it's because of hard work, but it's hard work that was done in a body that was given to you by God, and you were breathing air that was given to you by God, and you ate food that was given to you by God, and you had the power of the Holy Spirit, which is actually God's power working through you. Every bus captain, at the end of a big day, it's okay to say to your workers, thank you. It's okay to say to your driver, thank you, but you better get to your God and say, God, thank you. That wouldn't have happened if it were not for you. Every Sunday school teacher, well, you have a great day in your class, and hey, if you had 200, you know, we just broke a record attendance here a couple Sundays ago. That means there were all sorts of teachers that had a full house in your class. And thank God for it, and thank God for the teacher, and thank God for the assistant teacher, and thank God for the visitation that took place. But you better just thank God, because that's how that happened. And if we're not careful, we begin to succeed spiritually. And we begin to forget that spiritual success comes from God. When our special music program, as it has developed, and we've got more and more groups, and people get up and sing, and they carry themselves so well on the platform, and their music's great. You know, we don't hesitate inviting people to come to our church and hear our music. When people get up, if you've got a visitor here, you're saying, this is going to be so good. They're going to be so impressed with this group or that group or these people singing. And I'm glad. I think it ought to be done right if it's going to be done. But I'll tell you something. Everybody in here that sings a solo, a duet, a trio, and a quartet, and an ensemble, and a choir, you better remember something. If you just had a successful song, it's because God made that possible. And if a church is not careful, they could be lifted up with pride because they're succeeding. And that success, I think, comes from our God. Hey, when you win a soul to Christ, thank the Lord. I'm glad you had the courage to witness to them. I'm glad that you stepped out and told them about Jesus. I'm glad that you drew the net. I'm glad that you prayed with them. But boy, when it's all said and done, you didn't save anybody, and I've never saved anybody. There's one that does the saving, and that's Jesus Christ. And you better thank God when people get saved. And you know what we could do if we're not careful? We have people saved here all the time. You know, if there's a service where somebody doesn't walk the aisle, we're all going, what's wrong? There are other churches, if somebody does walk the aisle, they're saying, whoa. Well, it's the exact opposite for us. And there can be dozens and dozens of people saved in a week. If we're not careful, we'll say, did you hear about all the people got saved down at the church? But we forget to give God credit for what God did. And that can happen in our classes, in our ministries. We've got the ministries on Sunday night, our King's Kids, Flyers Club, Youth Ablaze, and they're successful. And there are times when they can't even get everybody in their room because it's packed out. Don't forget where that came from. But I think pride can bring destruction. And I wanted to start right here because of the fact that when a church is seeing God's blessing, we want to keep that blessing. And one way to do it is not to forget who gave us the blessing. May I say then, pride is I think we can end up in a destructive situation if our pride develops and we become self-sufficient. First of all, I told you spiritual success, that'll bring that pride on and that'll result in destruction. Now, self-sufficiency. Do you know that what we do, we're supposed to do it God's way, not our way? I think that there's not only things that we ought to do in the church, but I think that we are also to use God's methods in doing those things. There are certain things our church believes, but I think there are also certain things that we're supposed to do because we believe that way. And I think it's not always what we want. It needs to be what He wants. I don't think anybody in here says, well, I'm going to do it my way, or I don't need God. I'm going to do it my own way. I don't think you probably voiced that. I think you'd have to be pretty backslidden to say, I don't need God. I'm going to do it my way. So I don't think anybody in here probably voices that. I don't think you put that into words. But I wonder if we don't live it. I wonder if there are not some times when we're just flat out ignoring God and we've become self-sufficient. I think, folks, probably when one is filled with pride, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're in submission to Him and He's doing the leading. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with yourself and you're doing the leading. And Jeff Owens needs to be careful that Jeff Owens is not leading Jeff Owens. And Rick Young needs to be careful that Rick Young is not leading Rick Young. And Sherry Owens needs to be careful she's not trying to boss Jeff Owens around. I'm sorry. And Sherry Owens should make sure that Sherry Owens is not leading Sherry Owens. But every one of us are to be led by the Spirit. And I'm not trying to turn it into a weird thing, but folks, we're not to be leading ourselves. If your day, that's a good concept. If that's a good concept suddenly to you tonight, you did not spend the day asking God what you ought to be doing. We all need to be reminded of this self-sufficiency, this self-guidance. And I believe that we are practicing pride when he's not leading. One thing I do a lot in my life, I say to myself, think before you talk. And I'm constantly trying to slow myself down to say, think before you talk. Think before you act. Think before a decision. And the reason for that is, if I'm leading me, my pride will get the best of me, and in the end, that causes destruction. If I can think before I talk, the Holy Spirit has a chance to say to me, okay, this is the right way to say it. If I can think before I act, the Holy Spirit has a chance to help me not to do the wrong thing. I get in the most trouble when I run into it headlong, and I don't know what to do, I'll take care of this, got it under control, and the next thing you know, I didn't know what to do, I didn't take care of it, and nothing's under control. And I look back and say, how'd that happen? And that was that. Hey, any messes that are ever created around here, they're probably going to be created by the pastor who's leading, not letting the Holy Spirit lead him. And the same thing's true with you. So we can exercise pride, which can become destructive, because we're spiritually successful. And we stop giving him credit and realizing where that success came from. Secondly, we've got to be careful, because if we're not walking in the Spirit, well, that means we're walking in the flesh, and you can't be full of the Spirit if you're full of pride. But if you're full of the Spirit, you're definitely not going to be full of pride. And being full of the Spirit is being guided by the Spirit, but being full of pride is being guided by yourself. I got to tell you, my biggest enemy is usually me. Everybody here's heard teaching on pride before. We just need to be reminded. And to be honest, frequently we need to be reminded. It's just like everybody here's been told you ought to walk in the Spirit. We all know that. We just need to be frequently reminded of it. We have to make sure that we're not self-led. And so we would get the impression, if we're not careful, that pride is this nasty, arrogant, boisterous, out loud, I'm going to do it my way, I don't care what you think. Folks, pride is when you and I just don't walk in the Spirit. We believe we know what to do. We can lead ourselves. We can make our own decisions. We can decide what needs to be said, where we go, how we spend our money. I'm going to tell you, that's pride. So I can have it because of spiritual success. I can have it when I just lead myself. In Romans 6:13, it tells us that we are to yield ourselves as instruments for God's work. I've got this microphone here, and that thing is yielded to me. It's in my hand. It goes wherever I go. And the truth is, you and I are to be like that microphone right there. We're to place ourselves in the hand of God and let Him decide what happens. And when we're like that, there's an absence of pride, because we're letting the Spirit guide us. Destruction comes when you and I are not led by the Spirit. Destruction comes when we experience spiritual success, but we don't give Him credit for it. Now, we're going to look at probably 5 or 6 verses. I want you to turn to them quickly. I'll show you some other things about this topic of pride real fast. Go to Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20. Pride will actually, it'll steal position from your life. It'll steal positions. It steals your reputation or your glory. In Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20, the Bible says this. Daniel 5:20, it says, "But when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." That's Daniel 5:20. All right, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, "But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." We're talking about pride bringing destruction. The world would almost think that it is pride that will help them to get at the top. But for the Christian, here's somebody whose heart was lifted up and their mind was hardened, and they weren't getting promotion. They were getting demoted. In God's eyes, your pride demotes you. in God's eyes, you're stepping down in your usefulness, not stepping up. It goes as far as to say that he loses his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. Now, that glory there would have probably been a king had there was a certain respect that went along with his position. And here God is saying that when you and I are full of pride, we're demoting ourselves, and we're also going to lose reputation rather than gain reputation, because he lost his glory. And that glory is it's a reputation. It was something positive that went along with the position. So if you don't want to be demoted in God's eyes, watch your pride. Pride does not lift us up. Pride knocks us down. Okay, now let's look at another verse. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Now we're going to see that pride can bring shame. Pride brings disgrace. Proverbs 11, 2, it says this: when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Now, here it's telling us pride is going to bring shame, and it sure can. I think pride will bring shame to our Christian brethren. I think pride will also bring shame even in the presence of those that are in the world. And you know what ought to concern us most of all, you and I, we should not shame ourselves for the sake of the Heavenly Father. But here it's telling us that this thing of pride is going to bring shame. It's going to bring disgrace. You know that there's a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about a king that was so cocky and so arrogant that God began to humble him. And you found that king out in the field on all fours, crawling around like a cow eating grass. You say, what brought him that low? Well, he is now shamed because of his pride. And let me tell you all something. You and I might not always see the shame that comes, but it eventually comes. Anybody that's ever raised themselves above God and tried to put themselves above God, believe me, their shame came to them. And they were shamed because the Bible says they would be. So pride will steal position from you. Pride will bring shame to you. And of course, those are destructive things. Who wants to go backwards in life instead of forward? And who wants to be shamed and embarrassed because of their behavior? Let's go on. Go to James chapter 4, verse number 6. James chapter 4, verse number 6. And in James 4, 6, we're going to see that the Bible teaches us here that God resisteth the proud. James 4, 6. Find it quickly. James 4, 6, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So here, God said, I'm going to resist the proud. There's a roadblock. There's a resistance to prosperity. There's a resistance to victory. Proud people, Mrs. Owens and I, and some of you heard me tell this story. I had rented a pontoon boat for vacation once and took it out and had a great big old motor on it and everything. And I thought I knew all about it and how to run it and everything. And well, I tried to get, we got to going and we'd played with the thing for a long time out on the water. And then I tried to get it into shore and I couldn't get that thing to move no matter how hard, you know, no matter how much I put the throttle down, it just wouldn't go anywhere. And I finally got it into dock and I told the guy I rented it off of. I said, man, I'm going to tell you something. There's something wrong with that boat. Wouldn't go anywhere. He came out in a minute and he said, well, you know, Pastor, you probably, if you pulled that anchor up, you would have gone a whole lot quicker. He's right. And that may describe for you James chapter 4, verse number 6. There is a resistance, there is a restraint in the Christian life. And pride is like trying to go forward, but your anchor's down. And God said that is a weight on you. And it's not a weight that you and I physically see necessarily, but I believe that our pride will hold us back. I believe, and one of the reasons why, if you remember, the second point of the outline was you will not be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with pride. If you're filled with pride, you're definitely not filled with the Spirit. And when you've got spiritual guidance in your life, then you're maneuvering through life and God is your guide. And boy, you're going to flow. You're going to get somewhere. But you start leading you, and you're going to go backwards, and you're going to make wrong turns, and you're going to mess things up instead of fix things up. And here God said, there's a resistance that's going to come from me because of pride in your life. Let's go on. I think the Bible teaches that pride destroys our potential. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, we're going to look at verse number 12. Proverbs 26, 12. Proverbs 26:12, the Bible says this. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, you see there the word conceit, and here's somebody that they're conceited. Here's someone that they think they're smart. In other words, they're using their mind and not God's mind. They're leading themselves, not letting God lead themselves. Now, we've already talked about that, but notice the comparison. The first part of the verse is, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Question mark. Now we go on, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Now, notice the word hope there. What's God saying? God said, here's somebody that is full of pride, and they are hurting the possibility or the hope. What is hope? Well, if you'd like a good definition of hope, I think hope is the fact that there is good yet to come. When I say to you, keep your hope, have hope, what's that mean? I'm saying to you, there is the possibility of good still in the future. Now, God is saying, though, this guy that's conceited, the one that knows it all, the one that doesn't need God guidance, he walks in the flesh. He won't seek counsel. He doesn't need anybody. God said, there's more hope for a fool than for you. So God is actually saying a fool has a better future than a person full of pride. So you see somebody and you think they're a dingbat fool and you say, what hope do they have in the future? Well, they have more hope than you do if you're full of pride and you think you know it all. And you don't let the Bible be your guide. And you know, there needs to be a revival in Christianity where we start going back to the Bible and saying, what are we supposed to do according to the Word of God? Not how do I feel, not what does my culture say, not what does my friend say, not what do I feel like, not what is convenient, not what will it cost me, what does the Bible say? And whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm to do. And when you do anything other than that, there's a pride issue. And God said there's more hope of a fool than someone that's convinced, they're conceited in their thinking that they're right. So, that's where I get the wording. I believe that pride destroys your potential. Because God is saying there's more hope for a fool than one that's full of pride. In other words, hope is something that is futuristic. And what is in your future, your potential. And so our pride is destroying what we could have done someday. Let's go on. I think the Bible teaches that pride, if we're not careful, it will overtake us. Turn to Psalm chapter 59. Psalm 59. We're only going to do a couple more of these. We could do them all night, to be honest. The Bible is just packed full of teaching on this destructive nature. Psalm 59. I think it's verse number 12, if I wrote the right one down here, Psalm 59:12. Here we go. It says this, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for cursing and lying which they speak. Now, if you look back at me, more than one time in the Bible uses the terms taken in their pride. So that really got my interest up, and I want to know, what does it mean by being taken? It's talking about being taken over. It's talking about being overran, like a runner. If you have a runner, if they're not careful, someone behind them will overtake them. It's also akin to the word captive or becoming a prisoner to. So God is saying If you let your pride become strong enough, it begins to control you instead of you controlling it. Have you ever watched someone that is so deeply proud that they just don't have the sense to get any of it under control? And I've watched some people, and I'm talking about Christian people that got backslidden, that were so convinced, they were so right about so many things, that it was taking them over. And you're thinking that it's almost, and a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. They can be messed with and haunted by a demon, but you know, someone that's got the Holy Spirit sealed in them will not also have a demon in them, but they can be suppressed by a demon. But it's almost like pride takes you over, like a demon wants to take something over. And one of the biggest demons for the human race is pride. But here it's talking about being taken over by pride. I've watched some people drive themselves into destruction because they let a little pride in their life, and then they began to let it expand. And before long, I'm thinking, they're much smarter than that. They know better than that. Why in the world are they thinking? Pride is now driving them. Pride has taken them over. I think I'm the kind of person that could be taken over by pride. I want to guard myself. I've got to be careful to keep myself in submission to the Word of God, because I could picture me thinking I know it all the time, all day long, 365 days a year. I could picture myself being that way. So I don't want to be overtaken. I don't want to become pride's captive. I don't want pride to be telling me what to do. Now, every once in a while, it gets the best of me. But thank the Lord, I shake myself like a dog coming out of a bathwater, and I say, hey, I got to shake this off. And I come to myself and I say, oh, Lord, how could I dare begin to think I was so smart? How could I go without speaking to you or reading your word? How could I be making all these decisions without praying about them first? And that's what pride will do to you. It'll overtake you. Let's look at one more. God basically says, I'm not going to put up with your pride. He says, I'm just not going to put up with it. Let's see how he words it. Turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verse number 5. Psalm 101, verse number 5. And the Bible says this: whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. That's Old Testament vernacular or wording. He said, him will I not suffer, which basically means God said, I'm going to put up with this. I'm not going to tolerate this forever. So this is God saying, you know, you let that pride get out of control. The word that we used in the principle before about our pride overtaking us. You let pride overtake you, God eventually, he said, I'm going to put up with this. You know, we took the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. And when we did, I told you all from when we read the book of 1 Corinthians, God warns. He said, now, if you take the Lord's Supper unworthily, he said, some people get sick. He said, even to the point that some may lose their life. Can I tell you all something? I think the Bible teaches if you and I get full of enough pride, even as a Christian, there come a point when God will say, I've just had it. And God will go ahead and transfer you from earth to heaven as an act of mercy. You say, why? Pride is destructive. And God loves you enough that he would say, if you get so whacked out in your pride that you're destroying yourself or destroying your husband or destroying your wife or destroying your kids or destroying the people around you, I could go ahead and take you to heaven prematurely to keep you from hurting yourself. But God, he said, I will only tolerate. I will only suffer this so much. I'll only put up with arrogancy from my children so much. Now, so, you know, it's not your job to decide who is God disciplining like that. We all have our hands full with ourselves. I better just keep an eye on me. And if you be careful through this lesson. It's so easy. And I throw this in because it's a real good twist. But it's so easy to say, I know somebody right now that's got a pride issue. Well, really, you need to be listening to help yourself. Because you're analyzing somebody else is not helping you. But pride's dangerous. It's dangerous. And we're all guilty of it. Now, God's merciful. And I think sometimes God will have the preacher preach on it because he wants you to push the reset button because he doesn't want you to destroy yourself and to mess yourself up. Remember the opening verse, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We could take, we've been talking now for about 30, 35, 40 minutes. We could take the rest of the night. I could take 4 hours and give you verse after verse after verse on this subject, pride. It affects children. It affects teenagers. It affects single people and married people. It affects the gray hairs. It affects leaders and followers. It affects the spiritual leaders. Hey, at one point, Lucifer, who was in heaven, let it affect him. And we've had destruction without end ever since then. One of these days, old Smutty Face is going to get thrown into that burning fiery pit, and he'll be there forever. Isn't it going to be wonderful when we get to heaven? You say, yeah, there'll be no more death there. There'll be no more tears there. Well, I'll tell you, one of the big things won't be there. It'll be pride. Because pride brings so much destruction. It's pathetic. And so, destructive behavior number 5. Simple. Pride. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to recommend Him to you. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved, let me tell you something. The Bible very clearly teaches none of us are good enough to get ourselves to heaven. And anyone that thought that they could, that would be a prideful thought. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus lived 33 and a half perfect sinless years on this earth. Jesus died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. And the only way to get to heaven is to ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. You humbly say, I can't save me. I want Jesus to do it. And you'll get saved and go to heaven. Do you know that there are people that get saved and they go to heaven someday, and then there's everybody else? You say, what's going to send all those other people to hell? Probably one word. Pride. Pride. Talk about destruction. The Bible says hell is never full. What's happened? Hell hath been enlarged because of what? People rejecting Jesus. Pride. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, we welcome you to the Savior. If you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anyone that would say, preacher, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved. I want to be. I need to be. But pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I need to be born again. All right? Then I'll go to those of you that are born again. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Because I think anybody here that paid any attention at all, you found something tonight that will help you. Because we all need help with our pride. But I believe God has spoken to our hearts. We'll have an altar call. In a second, Mrs. Young will begin to play the piano. We'll all stand to our feet. If you need a moment to come down here and get on your knees and pray, you feel free to come. Oh, guard yourself. Don't let pride overtake you. It brings destruction into our lives. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come for a moment. Guard yourself from that thing called pride. Those of you that are succeeding in your Christian life, guard yourself. Hey, those of you that are succeeding in the secular arena, guard yourself. Your business is prospering. Guard yourself. Did you know that as a Christian manager, as a Christian business owner, if you're succeeding, you're succeeding, and that is a part of God's blessing on your life. Well, you ought to, at the end of the day, you ought to thank God. Say, we had great sales this week. You better thank God for it. If you get to thinking that because of your management skills, that's the only reason that there's any success anywhere around the place, I'm sorry. Boy, pride is creeping in and it'll overtake you. Moms, be careful. You say, we got some moms doing a great job raising their kids. Be careful, mama. You may be doing a good job, but I need to tell you something. You wouldn't be doing a good job if it were not for God's intervention. If anything's going right with your kids, you better thank the Lord and say, oh, God, thank you. I praise you for that. There are people in this church that have fantastic marriages, and I thank God for it. But could I recommend that you don't think you're something special? Because if you have a good marriage, you better thank God for it. I've watched pride destroy many of a marriage. I'm talking about a successful marriage. They just thought that they were God's gift to matrimony. They forgot. Without God, you can't have a good marriage. And without God, those kids won't do what they're supposed to do. And without God, the church won't be what it's supposed to be. And without God, your Sunday school class wouldn't be successful. America, you better wake up. Because without God, you're full of pride, America. And there was a day when we were very, very pleased to say we were one nation under God. Now we're too cocky. We don't need God anymore. We have all this success. And pride brings destruction. Now you go to the streets of our cities, and every time you turn around, there's riots and wars and everything else within our country because of pride. We don't need God anymore. We don't need the Bible anymore. We don't need church anymore. Pride goeth before destruction. Thank you, Mrs. Young.